Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Bye-bye.
Tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Tomorrow's show, we will talk with Mark Grody with his final Bears report of the week. We will discuss Bears and Packers with him. Just got the text back from Maggie Hendricks. Our friend is going to join us tomorrow to preview Mercury Sky Game 3. The Wintrust Arena is apparently sold out for tomorrow night's game for the WNBA Championship Series.
And that's cool.
That's wonderful to hear. I was watching Game 2 last night.
So was I, Lawrence. Lots of it was really good. Go ahead. Sorry, do your propers. Finish up.
Oh, we're good. Parkins and Spiegel. It's a very different show from Spiegel and Parkins.
Yeah, it's us. Yeah, man, I caught like the end of the third, all of the fourth quarter, and overtime, and it was like, this is an entertaining basketball game. Taurasi is...
She's the GOAT,
is
man.
The GOAT. And still has it. And Brittany Griner is just unstoppable.
She's an immovable object.
Oh, my God. And she's just so much stronger and bigger than everybody and fluid, too. And also just like...
She's improved her game. Like, it's like there was one point where she, like, stepped out for a three. And I was like, you do that? Like, you don't even need to do that. Like, you can just patrol the center. And that drop step dunk on the baseline by her. absurd.
There's a bunch of players there who, like, you heard about when they were in college. Like, oh, they're dynastic in college. Oh, they won three titles and broke every school record. And now here they are as grown-ups playing hard and playing well. And the Sky are fun. They're a good team. They play good team game.
I know that when you're looking at Phoenix, you're talking, we could have the argument. Some people would tell you that it's Sue Bird, who's the GOAT. Some people would tell you it's Cheryl Swoops, who's the GOAT. Tina Charles. Like, there's a lot of great players that you could look at and say, but Diana, man, I love the ferocity with which she plays, and she somehow simultaneously plays with joy. Like, it comes across, like, when you watch her play, seeing her interact with, like, the NBA players while the game was going on is crazy. But I look at the Sky, and you look at their pieces, and you're like, man, they've got Candace Parker, and they've got Kalia Copper. And people got introduced to Kalia Copper. Like, she's not here for the play-play. And you saw that a little bit last night. They've got Diamond DeShields. Like, it's a team that's loaded with talent. The surprising part is not that they're in the WNBA Championship Series. Surprising part is that they finished 500 this year. That's the surprising thing about the Chicago Sky.
Should have been
Sky.
Better than that. Yeah, it was thin times last night, Danny. I'm bouncing around. I got Blackhawks, and they're down 3-0. And then I found the Sky, and I was very happy to have found it.
That's great. I mean, I'm thrilled to hear that it's sold out and that the game was on number one ESPN. You know what I mean? That they're giving it this proper production and promotion that it deserves, and the star power, those names, is obviously undeniable. Anyone who follows women's college basketball, which is a great product, it's very top heavy, but it is a good product. It's cool that it's translating into the WNBA a little bit. But yeah, I was sportsless last night.
Opportunity.
Turned over the TV to the wife and just got in there.
For most of the day, that's what I was doing. Like, I was playing chess online, and I ran across this and I had to take a picture of it. I was just flipping channels. I was like, oh, NBA preseason stuff. At the time, in the third quarter, Danny, Dallas was leading Charlotte 109-48.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, I got to go away from this immediately.
That's not what you want to be watching. Preseason anything is terrible. Preseason NBA can be a special kind of terrible. We saw it when the Bulls played the Cavs. Like, the Bulls like came out and really tried. And the Cavs came out and really didn't. And all of a sudden, it was a 40-point game.
The Bulls scored like 135 points or something in that
game.
Yeah,
and they're just like doing highlight dunks. And like, like the bench mob was like standing for like stretches of time. I'm like, God, these guys are really taking it seriously. But
Shows you like who's actually looking forward to their season a little bit. Like looking forward to playing together. Bulls are looking forward to playing together.
They are looking forward to playing together. But I mean, I think that sometimes you see teams that are that know they're good just also do nothing because they're like, well, we'll be fine, right? LeBron will go out if they're playing in some sort of like random location and he'll play 6 minutes to give the crowd something and then he'll sit back down. But hey, man, Bull season starts on Wednesday and they're going to be good.
Mike thinks they're going to be good. That's fun.
That is fun.
That was nice.
Mike doesn't talk about the Bulls usually. Mike doesn't talk about a lot of stuff, but he talked about the Bulls and said he likes them. Said he's looking forward to them. I dig it.
I mean, he's not the only one. The East is good. The East is legitimately good. The Hawks are good. The Knicks are good. The Celtics are good. The Bulls are good. And none of those teams are contenders in the East. You know what I mean? But those are all good teams that are going to be very competitive and should have aspirations to be, you know, the 4 seed or something like that and have a winning record. So it's a pretty deep conference. And then there's Kyrie. Do you think the Nets are still the best team even without Kyrie in the East, given what we saw from Durant last year? I think the answer to that is probably yes, even though it's a little disrespectful to Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's tight. I mean, Kevin Durant's just in a place right now as a player that it's hard. I think that he's the best player in the league.
Right. And they
best player in the world.
You can make the argument that him and Harden are the two best offensive players in the league. So,
but it is like mad disrespectful to the NBA champions.
It is. Yeah. But I mean, the counter argument is if
Durant's shoe size is a half a size smaller.
Yeah, then they win. Obviously, there were injuries on Milwaukee last year, too. Not of the same significance of this.
Yeah, Harden was not himself, was just like slowly making his way around the court.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets were decimated by injury, and Durant still almost beat the Bucks. And so you'd have to think that even without Kyrie, just Harden and Durant at this point, that is a cheat code offensively. Harden, by the analytics, is the best one-on-one offensive player the sport has seen, and Durant is actually better than him. So I don't know how you defend them if those two guys are there. And then, oh yeah, by the way, Kyrie Irving, who is one of the best dribblers in the history of the game, one of the most creative shot makers in the current game, and a stone cold killer in the playoffs. Like, if those three guys actually play together, they should be a cheat code. But I have no idea if they're going to.
You are not sportsless tonight. You have a game 5 in the National League playoffs. You have two great teams who've never really met in the postseason until this year. Like, they met to decide the 1951 regular season in a best-of-3 playoff and had Bobby Thompson with a shot heard around the world. But this is like, this is good stuff tonight. Fun, strategic skullduggery already going on here in the afternoon, too.
I feel like the Giants are the team that I will now support with the White Sox out of it.
Not coming to the Red Sox land with me.
Oh, dear God.
And my family.
No.
They're going to beat the Astros, though. And don't you want my dad to be happy? He's 88. Come on, Lawrence.
I do want him to be happy. And
team of the moment, you know.
And I would like to see the Astros beaten. But as it stands, Alex Cora would be the one that's...
Yeah.
And that doesn't feel great
either. All
right,
but they got other guys. They got Chris Sale.
They have Kyle Schwarber.
They got Schwarber. That's right.
I think I'm rolling with KB, so I hope that KB wins a ring. I think that's like sitting there trying to look at it. Had it been the Rays who advanced, I would have easily thrown my support behind the Rays because I love everything about them organizationally. But I think I'm just going to be like, you know what? It'd be nice for KB to win a title.
Well, he's already got one, though. And the Giants, I know. The Giants had three in 6 years. I mean, what the hell? Know.
As if the Red Sox have been starved for winning.
As if the Dodgers have been starved.
There's not really some sort of...
Go Braves!
Yeah, there's not a David storyline out here.
That's what I'm saying. It might as well be the Red Sox. Here's the
Why?
Thing about the Braves.
Because of your dad?
Well, yes.
Yeah, for you, yeah.
Well, no, but also, like, they weren't supposed to be good. They weren't supposed to be good, and it's the same batch of people that weren't good last year, and they're
plucky. The Giants weren't supposed to be good.
That's true. I'm a Giants-Red Sox World Series. Okay. Let's go.
Yeah.
Also, Red Sox have a fat catcher. He's not a Molina. He's not like Jose Molina level, but he does have a quality gut.
What does throwing your support behind a team look like once your team's been eliminated?
Just like...
Wearing a hat.
That's the team... No,
but I don't even think it's that far.
That's a team I'd like to win. Okay. I'm going to be watching the games rooting for the Giants.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm even going to watch any of the that's American what League I, series.
Okay, so but you will tune in for the NL?
If there's a Game 7, I'm in.
Give my Red Sox a chance, Lawrence.
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Kike Hernandez, come on.
Hey, he's been great.
Rafael Devers, you wanted him instead of Moncada for Chris Sale. I didn't give him to you.
Sounds like a sportsless night again. is what it sounds like.
That's tomorrow. Red Sox and Astros. No, Dodgers, Giants tonight. You're not sportsless.
No, tonight.
It'll be there on the second screen being vaguely paid attention to at the Parkins house.
It's Tampa, Philly tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Brady on the road. Less than a touchdown favorite.
With a bad thumb.
And,
yeah.
And scouting Brady for the next his next game against the Bears.
Bears' next opponent. Let's go. Okay.
Joe talked about this. He talked about how the Bears' schedule.
It's brutal.
Well, not that it's brutal because of who you're playing.
No, I know.
But because of how teams are getting more off days leading into games with the Bears.
Yeah. The added rest days for the Bears schedule, I think, was the worst of any team in the NFL. So it's not just that you're playing good teams. It's that you're playing good teams. And sometimes it's just a day. Sometimes it's like, you know.
You played Monday night.
Right.
They played Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Which obviously is the case for every team when they play Monday. But, yeah, a couple of times you get a team off a bye. I think twice you get a team off of Thursday night football. So you get them off a mini bye. So it's just. Very, very difficult schedule. And so Brady off a mini bye in Tampa. Next week's going to be tough. Win this week.
This is,
man, do you know what a win this week would mean?
That's what I want to talk about today, Lawrence. Like, if they win this week, it's no longer just about evaluating Justin Fields.
Correct.
Which would come out of nowhere, and they're less of an underdog this week than they were last week. Now, I think it's getting bet up to 5.5 in some places, so it's maybe going to be an identical underdog by the time this game starts.
And it's possible that the team that they played last week was in complete chaos leading into the game.
Correct. But this Packers team, not in complete chaos, but not anywhere near the best version of themselves.
And they're down what? Their two best defensive players?
And their best offensive linemen. So, right, you're down
Bakhtiari and Za'Darius Smith.
And Jair Alexander. So, if you were going to...
And they still haven't looked quite right offensively either.
There's nobody getting targeted other than Devontae. Man. And maybe that's okay. Maybe that works out because he's Devontae. But seriously, everybody up there is like, hey, Aaron, you know, you're allowed to use your tight end. You're allowed to use some of your other
Big
guys.
Big Bob Tonyan.
Yeah, but he's just in love with Devontae, and understandably.
Yeah, I mean... He runs perfect routes, has incredible feet, and doesn't drop any passes.
Yeah, that's good.
So I'd probably throw to him a lot, too. But, yeah, I think if you were doing a power ranking of Packers players, they're missing their third, fourth, and fifth best players?
I think that is correct. Well, where do you put Aaron Jones?
Just based on positional value, the other guy, I mean, Jair Alexander's a corner, Bakhtiari's a left tackle, and Za'Darius Smith's an edge rusher. Like, I think all three of those positions are so much more valuable than running back that I think it's 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
And you could make an argument Jair Alexander is maybe a little better than Devontae Adams. I probably wouldn't, but he's an all-pro caliber corner. So they are not what they're going to be at the end of the year because none of those are season enders for those guys. So at home, three of their top five or six players not playing, I feel like this is as good as a shot as you'll get against the Aaron Rodgers Packers.
I agree.
right? Like, this isn't the Brett Hundley Packers. He had a better shot when he started. But, like, for the Aaron Rodgers Packers, this is about as good of a shot as you can get. And Dan cited it earlier. The fact that the Bears are the number one pass rush team
without blitzing.
And they don't blitz.
Is amazing.
It's what the Rams were last year. Like,
you can play drop seven.
And
hope that you got a chance.
It's the goal of every defensive coordinator.
Yes. Sure, and it allows guys like Kendall Vildor and Duke Shelley to survive as they learn whether they're actual NFL players or not.
I got a bad feeling about the – that's where I'm worried.
Yeah, I think Randall Cobb is going to eat Duke Shelley alive, something like that this weekend, right?
Even at this point in his career.
I have a terrible feeling about this game. Just an awful, awful feeling. And I've had Packers-Bears games where I've had the good feelings of like – maybe this is the one that turns the tide. Maybe this is the one that redoes them. And those didn't work out. So maybe really the fact that I feel terrible about it is a good sign.
I like that Danny is like positive about this.
Uh-huh.
Hey, all I'm saying is like I go.
What would you bet? Would you bet Bears?
No, I'd bet the over though.
Okay.
I think that the Bears defense is good, but I haven't seen the Bears defense shut down Aaron Rodgers ever, so I would think that Aaron Rodgers will be able to score. And I love Jalen Johnson, and I love his confidence, and I love his swagger.
I love him saying that he wants to go up against the best receiver in the league.
Yeah, good luck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's ready for this. Like, almost nobody is.
But you want that guy to want it.
Yes.
You want your number one corner to be that guy who's like, bring it, thank you.
Yeah, I will shadow Devontae Adams. And then he will shadow Devontae Adams, and he will still get targeted a dozen times.
Of course he will.
And I'm guessing Devontae will have 8 for 120 and a touchdown.
I'm looking at targets in the NFL. Number one is Devontae Adams with 61 targets.
I mean, if you had him, wouldn't you target him?
Yeah. Cooper Kupp is correct.
Nailed it.
At 56. Keenan Allen at 53.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Deebo Samuel. How about Mike Williams right there at 51? Justin Herbert's throwing to the wideouts an awful lot.
Well,
but here's the thing about.
Throw a lot.
And so I was looking for the next Packer. So there's Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, both in the 50s. Devontae Adams at 61. The next Packer on the list of targets is Aaron Brooks at 19.
Hmm.
19 targets is the next one after 61 for Devontae. And then it's Bob Tonyan. There's no wide receiver anywhere in the top 80 of targets other than Devontae.
I know I've said this before, but it was so obvious at the time to draft a receiver with that pick that they used to trade up for Jordan Love. They traded up for Jordan Love, I think from 26 to 24, from 27 to 24. T. Higgins was sitting right there. He was just right there. 6'4", huge catch radius, played in huge college games, doesn't drop passes, pure route runner. Like, I'm thrilled that he's not on the Packers for the Bears' sake, but imagine T. Higgins catching passes from Aaron Rodgers right now opposite Devontae Adams.
And Michael Pittman Jr. also there, who looked real good
for the
Colts this week.
And Rodgers mentioned liking him coming out of college.
And LaVisca Chenault or Chenault?
The guy in Jacksonville, who's a bit of a player.
Oh, my! He made so many people miss. Pro Football Focus had tweeted out a comp of different Chenault catches, just making people miss like crazy.
Shout out to our buddy Adam Hogue.
Chase Claypool, too.
I remember before the draft, he was all in on Chenault.
He was?
All in on him.
Well, yeah.
Him and Trevor Lawrence starting to establish a little bit of a rapport. Fast guy. Big fast guy. Good athlete.
So to your point, Danny, they took Jordan Love.
It's good to have team speed.
They took Jordan Love, and four of the next five wide receivers are T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, LaVisca Chenault, and Chase Claypool.
Oh, man, I forgot about Claypool. I would have taken Higgins, but, yeah, those guys are all good.
What do you make of the Schilt firing?
It is fascinating because when a front office and a manager don't agree on stuff, then, you know, some guys, he's just going to be gone, man. And that's what this is. This is philosophical differences, apparently. And I just saw a quote that Mozeliak was asked, like, why didn't you just tell him the way that you want to do things? And he was basically saying that Schilt didn't respond well to that.
I don't like hearing that.
That he's just that dude who wanted to do things his own way. You know, so Mozeliak does have more power.
A GM might want to do things away, like a vice president of baseball might want to do things a certain way, and then the manager maybe doesn't want to do them, and then the manager just does whatever he wants.
And Mozeliak goes to ownership and says, you know, I'm pretty good at this job, remember? See what I've done through all these years before Schilt got here and now, and he didn't trade for Nolan Arenado. He didn't trade for Paul Goldschmidt. He didn't do these things. He didn't develop some of these young pitchers that I've handed to him. So, yeah, a front office usually wins that power struggle.
And I got to say,
usually.
They should, right?
Correct.
The front office should?
Yeah, the front office should win that. So, like, I hate to say I respect what the Cardinals did here, but if the manager they're saying, screw the results. Thank you for the 17-game win streak. Thank you for the playoffs. We will pay you with the year left on your deal, but
we want to do this the way that we want to do it.
Process over results. The results were good, but if the process is not one that we believe to be sustainable and that we cannot get on the same page, meaning you cannot get on our page, see you later. So obviously I have no idea on the inner workings or what the specific disagreements were, but if they're coming out and saying organizational differences, I respect when teams will take a short-term PR hit for doing something unconventional if they truly believe that it is in the long-term interest of their franchise. Firing Lovie Smith after winning 10 games. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. Now,
but the problem,
best Bears coach of my lifetime.
Well, but the problem is that there was nobody, and there continues to be nobody above Lovie Smith that you trusted to do the right thing.
Of course, that was
the problem then. I do trust that John Mozeliak will do a smart thing for the Cardinals and bring in another manager, whoever it may be.
I'm just saying that generally speaking, if we don't think that managers have that much value, they have some value, but not that much value. That organization is what allowed the Cardinals to do what they did this year.
Yeah, I'm hesitating to agree flat out that the front office should always have that power. It should be a smart front office that has that power.
Aren't most front offices smart now?
Just about all of them now.
Like,
yeah, I mean, Baltimore still okay. Struggles. There's a couple that still struggle, but most front offices do.
It's become homogenized. The sport is largely
where the group think has taken over on some of that level. Yes, but there are a few places like, I mean... If Cleveland said we're going to fire Terry Francona, as smart as they are and as organized as they are and as productive as a front office has been, there are still a couple managers where I'd be like, that's dumb.
Well, but if it came down to firing Terry Francona or firing Chernoff, is that his name? Who's the right president of baseball over there? I'd fire Francona.
Well, yeah, I think Francona is one of the few. There's maybe four managers who I'd be like, that person's overall philosophical strengths and leadership is more important.
Hmm.
But really very, very few.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's a fascinating story, and I get the skepticism because of what just happened.
Breaking White Sox news. Tony La Russa decides to step down as White Sox manager.
Yeah, that's not a real thing, is it?
I mean, make the trade.
We've got that ready to go.
Who's the backup just in catcher case? In St. Louis?
He wants to go to the Cardinals.
Make the trade.
I love the
make the trade.
I love the butt kissing emptiness of, well, if the players want me back, then I would stay. Like any player is going to come out and say, you know what? Thanks for asking. No, I don't want the manager back.
Wouldn't it be great if one did though?
Yeah, and if it was going to happen, it would have happened today.
Is that what he said?
Even though we know that TA liked Tony and they got along, but like in terms of a player empowered enough to say that,
what if Lance was like, you know what, I've been thinking about this for weeks now, and
yeah,
it's true that I only have a locker. I'd like for him to not have an office.
Yes.
That'd be amazing. Right.
That would go over great. Let's do public exit interviews with everybody. Hey, Lucas, Mr. Giolito, sir, how you feeling about stuff? I'd like a different manager. I think we'd all be better off with a different manager.
I was the worst pitcher in baseball. and now I'm the best pitcher.
Right. Like anyone is ever going to say that. And it doesn't matter what they say anyway. There's one vote that matters.
Correct. That's the thing. The story is, it's simplified.
Trade him to St. Louis.
God, that would be awesome.
Wouldn't it? Everyone's happy, right? Every single participant gets to be happy in this.
Except Jerry Reinsdorf.
Damn it.
Yeah, the only person who matters.
Oh, that's the only happiness that matters. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's the only part that matters.
He gets to go back to St. Louis. We get a manager that we
don't
hate. Like,
all right, people got to be running with this. People got to be running with that conspiracy theory.
Bring it.
That Mike Schilt has been fired to make room for Tony La Russa's triumphant return.
That was one of my conspiracies when the Cardinals were 50-50. That, hey. Maybe they want Tony after this. And then, you rattle off what you rattle off.
Dude.
And then they're still like, get out of here.
I like it.
The two most important position players have gone back-to-back days saying, yes, we'd like him back. Thank you very much. So count down to the Nightingale tweet saying definitely coming. You know, it's got to be on its way.
Dump him.
Do they even need to announce that he's coming back? I mean, he didn't sign a 1-year contract.
So that was the interesting thing about what the Dutchman had in the Sun-Times today, that it's believed that La Russa's contract is a 3-year deal.
That was the thing when we aired the press conference. I was like, how did we not get that detail out of it? That always bothers me.
We're going to keep that in house, Dan.
It bothers me so much that the players' contracts have to be made public, and coach and general manager don't. It is ridiculous.
Oh, there is a Nightingale tweet. I'm sorry. 2:13 p.m. Meanwhile, in Chicago, Tony La Russa is definitely returning to the White Sox. So, no, he's not going to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Dump him.
There it is. It's here.
Oh.
All right.
If you guys want to have Bob Nightingale on, you guys can certainly do that.
Thanks, Jim.
No, we don't want to.
No.
We're fine. We have Paul Charchian at 3:00. Lawrence, Dave wants that in studio at 4:00. We normally drink when Dave comes in.
Yeah.
But we were running a little low on the Terry Bradshaw bourbon, and so he wouldn't let us drink it last week.
I don't think that was about a bourbon volume thing. I think that was about Dave, like, just imposing his parental will on you and me for some reason.
I think it was about the Bradshaw bourbon.
Really? Just like saving Bradshaw bourbon?
Because he's cheap. He only wants to drink the free stuff that Terry sends him. And so we got a little something up our sleeve for Wani today in studio.
Please tell him I said hello.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!